Valuetown is a production of HearthSim. Find out how to support Valuetown by going to patreon.com/valuetown.
This is our town.
Welcome!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 186 of Valuetown. I'm Champion V, he's Gara, and Board Control is back joining us once again to talk about Hearthstone meta news, and maybe another game, too. We'll see. We'll definitely see. But how's everybody doing today? Or how's this week been for you guys?
So, yeah, this week was going well until today. We lost in HG, but top 12 still pretty good. I'm happy overall, but of course, a little sad after losing today.
Do you get anything for 12? Top 12? I mean, I don't know how the prize distribution is for global games.
Yeah, it's like something like $1,500 plus all those bits from the cheer system that Blizzard have introduced. So it's a decent amount of money for the tournament, which is good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, for 12th place, pretty good. Pretty good. Gar, how about you?
Just on the ladder grind, I'm playing my Shaman deck against
Yeah. Shaman's been good, man. I've played a little bit of it this week. After I finally just playing the priest deck. I played the priest deck literally for almost 3 weeks now. So I decided to play something different. And so I was playing the Shaman deck. It was a lot of fun. But yeah, Global Games is wrapping up. I mean, I guess we can start there a little bit. BlizzCon, the top eight is going to be going to BlizzCon. And you know, like Boar said, you know, obviously didn't go well. Who ended up beating you guys?
Yeah, so Hong Kong beat us.
Hong Kong.
So they progressed, yep.
Wait, is Amaz on Hong Kong?
I mean, he's not on their team.
Oh.
Their main player is Blitzchung, if you might have heard of him.
I don't think I know Blitzchung.
Probably. I know him.
Is he? Super good? Obviously. He must be.
I mean, he's good enough to be known.
Yeah, that's true. That says a lot of you're known, right? Hong Kong. So it sounds like Hong Kong's going to be in the top eight. I think it might be. I don't know how many notable folks will be in the finals this year, which I don't know if that's going to be good for the global games itself. But I know US got eliminated by Singapore, which is like, oh my, that's such a stacked team. How can we not make the top eight? Saying he was supposed to pull through after last week. We talked to him, you know, give him a pep talk. But they didn't end up coming through, unfortunately. So
I think Sane used up all his wins in other tournaments.
Seriously. Can't blame him, man. I don't know if I'd use my limited number of wins if I had them on global games. No, but... Yeah, who's left here? So who's left? So Singapore
Spain
beat the U.S.
As well. Brazil beat Portugal earlier today to make it. And then Bulgaria, they qualified last week, beating the UK again.
I mean, where are you looking? Are you looking at the Battlefy brackets?
This is just memory.
Oh, jeez, man. Yeah.
They haven't updated stuff.
The memory doesn't do me any good. So,
it's all right. Like, if it's not on HS Replay, Bo has to, like, memorize it.
No, I mean, like... It's hard. Like, I can't even find an updated bracket, so I have to go to the freaking Battlefy brackets, you know, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't update the normal HG website.
Yeah,
it just has
it's just
nothing.
Not there.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm trying to figure it out.
Progressed. Yeah, yeah. Taiwan won. They were first swept. Yeah, yeah. I thought they were going to lose. They had to win Old Warrior versus Death Rattle Hunter at the start of that reverse sweep today.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Taiwan's definitely got some notable folks there, so that's going to be good. New Zealand? Do we know any big players from New Zealand? Any well-known players?
Yeah, so there's Patchler, and then there's Mage as well, if you've heard of Mage. Mage is a Mabic grinder.
Huge. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Mage obviously got really popular at the World Championships. Where am I looking here? God, where's the whole group? There it is. Okay. Oh, China and Norway. Okay, Norway. And China, obviously. Two big countries there.
Yep, Ukraine notably getting knocked out there. They came second last time.
Oh, yeah, Ukraine got knocked out by Switzerland. No, by Norway. Twice! Yep. Ouch! That's brutal.
Oof.
Who's on Ukraine? It's Stan? Is it Stan and Kalenta?
No, Stan's Russian. It's Kalenta, Nyrir, Old Boy, and Insane.
Oh, my God. That's such a good team. Crazy. Okay, and then we got Spain and Brazil here. So we got South America and obviously Europe represented. And then lastly, we've got... So this is done now, huh? So they're finished now. Okay, so Bulgaria and Hong Kong. So we've got our, I guess, our top eight for BlizzCon, which this year, again, like, there's actually going to be a competitive event this time around, not just an invitational like last year. So that'll be, I think, a lot better for folks that are at BlizzCon just for Hearthstone, because last year I feel like Hearthstone had the least represented stuff. You know, like, we had the expansion announcement, but that's just normal. But besides that, there wasn't that much to do there, to be honest. So this year will be definitely a lot better. So get ready for that. That's going to be in, obviously, what, a month, maybe 5 weeks, 5 weeks from now, BlizzCon. So we'll be talking about BlizzCon a little bit more as we go here. How did you like global games this year, Bor? Like, I mean, last year it felt like a real big drag. I'll just be honest. Like, I was bored to death by it last year. It was just a big old drag, I think, for me as a viewer. I know it was better for you guys. Obviously, you were playing. But how do you compare this year to last year?
Yeah, so last year I wasn't on the team, unfortunately. But just from a viewer's perspective, there was just way too many games, too many things going on. It was kind of boring as well. And then playing as well, the format was a bit flippy. You remember last year you had the two decks and you would pick one into a random other person's deck.
Yeah.
That was awkward. But this year they reduced the number of games, made it a Swiss, which no one can disagree with having a Swiss in card game format, right?
Yeah.
And then they changed the format again. Now it's like a pick ban phase. The pick ban phase is really enjoyable, really skill testing.
Yeah, I like that.
I enjoy it a lot. We ban one, pick two, ban two, etc. But then we have this next phase where we randomly queue our decks into their decks, a bit like in Conquest.
Yeah.
And that phase is the no go, no. Because you can lose a lot of percent there, and there's nothing you can do about it. Sometimes you just hit the odd way into the hunter, and it just sucks. There's just nothing you can do. And that part
it
really
sucks. RNG, man. You got to add RNG to it, too, right? Yeah, I don't see any benefits in that. Just like randomly throwing decks. It just totally removes the whole point of that aspect of the competition. So it seems pretty strange to have that element to it. And like you said, like one game, one mat, that's a big portion of, you know, determining who the winner is, right? So but overall, you know, it is better than last year, I would say.
Definitely.
I still think, I don't know, I still think it's like, I can't put a finger on it, like, but maybe it's just still too many games. I don't know. Like, Gara, like, what do you think of the whole global games thing? Like, there's something that's not right about it, and I can't put a finger on it.
Okay, like, I like to look at it from a competitive standpoint, and I know that most people have complained about the format, like Bor said. It's like the RNG aspect, because we have two polarized matchups in Hearthstone, and it's like if you queue your Questroke in Odd Warrior or something like that, it's like... And you have to win. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like impossible. That's like the worst part. This is, as soon as I see something like that, that's like such a big turnoff for me, because I know underdogs can beat favorite teams like USA.
Yeah.
Just because they get very good matchups. Like, it's Hearthstone. Like, it's no big surprise that if you play a 80-20 matchup that you can lose to almost everyone. So, and like you said, it's just too many games. And I like to compare it to Overwatch League, because I followed the first season of Overwatch League and it was almost every day,
Yeah.
I think two days were all.
Yeah, it was too much.
It was still super interesting though, because
really?
It was,
okay.
The production was ridiculous, I think, for Overwatch League. And like the pre-show was also super fun to watch.
Oh.
I think there was a lot of hype. I think it was, if you want to make it, it has to be so hype, right? Like, the production has to be so good, it has to be easy to follow, like, you really have to do it like fun to follow, right, in a way
that you want to follow it. Yeah,
and maybe it's a little bit too boring, you know, it's like too many games and the format is not great, unfortunately. Like, you want to see the good people win, right, against like much weaker teams, right? Like, if you know this team is like three of the best players in the world and they're playing against like very unknown players, I don't want to like discrediting people that could be good players, but on average, the better team should win, right? Because they also like prepare probably a lot, have like super good strategy, and then you see them getting like destroyed by the RNG aspect of the matchups. That's why I don't like it. Like, as soon as I heard the format, I didn't want to follow it, because that will decide so many series.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. The format wasn't the best, but I don't know. I just think you're a little bit on to something when I think you said that, you know, Overwatch League was so hyped. Just, you know, every single broadcast felt like...
Oh, look, a good counterexample is there's like a lot of Chinese tournaments that are not even... It doesn't even... Do not have like an English host, but you see those funny clips.
And they're and just like...
You just watch it. You don't understand it. But they're just funny, random, stupid stuff, and you just watch it because it's so hilarious.
Well, like, I mean, so you're talking about the energy. Yeah, sure. I mean, but that's, I feel like that's because we haven't seen it before. You know, like if we saw the same thing every single week, then we might not react as much to it. But, you know, definitely the energy level in the broadcast isn't the same as like an HTT event for sure. And it's, I don't know if it's because of the, you know, who's actually casting and hosting, you know, it's not the same crew, obviously. But also, you know what? I kind of wish that there was just an element of, you know, a captain of the team, like the captains of the team don't really play much of a role except for they're just called captains. You know what I mean? Like, I wish there was a way to just like put somebody in the forefront and have them, you know, have to play for something, you know, like an anchor or something like that. You know, there's an element to that so that we could get the notable people from each country to actually, you know, kind of spearhead that, right? And kind of draw some interest to it. Because right now, like, you could call out some countries, and I have to actually think to, like, when you said Ukraine, it's like, okay, I have to think, I remember that, okay, yeah, you know, Kalinta's part of Ukraine, you know, and Nairia's part of Ukraine, you know, so it'd be nicer if we just, I think, were able to really highlight, you know, who these notable people are from the countries and have them, you know, have that element into the format, too. So, yeah, maybe if they could do that next year, you know, have just a little bit more of that, because, you know, the team thing is cool. But at the same time, you know, I think everybody as viewers and you know, somewhat to society, you know, one thing that I was watched over the weekend was this whole Tiger Woods thing. And like, you know, Tiger Woods, everybody in the sports world just like wanted him to win, you know, because he's just this magnanimous superstar. And I think, you know, we kind of want a little bit, you know, a tiny bit of that, you know, I'd say in Hearthstone, and we don't really have that, you know, at least in this team competition, because it's just like, okay, it's about your country, and then, you know, like no individualism at all. So I think it's missing a little bit of that. They could probably try to bring that in, but we'll see how it ends. You know, I think it'll be really cool to see if maybe a lot of Chinese fans show up at BlizzCon or something, you know, or, you know, it's just one of the countries well represented at BlizzCon, and we see some crazy national pride at the, you know, at the finals.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, let's see. What else should we... Let's move on to some just kind of general news with Hearthstone. Maybe some things that are going on. You know, we mentioned the Tavern Brawl last week, right? That they were having the new one. And, you know, I finally got a chance to play it because there was quests that made me play. You know, I basically had to play five of them, right? For 500 gold. So, yeah, definitely played it. So I want to get your opinions. Which did you guys play it at all? And then which Death Knight was the best for you guys?
Yeah, I played it a bunch. I tried some different Death Knights, and after losing to Mage so many times in a row,
yeah,
I was like, I was going to play the Mage.
Me too.
They give you so many one health guys, and you can they just, it's like turn one, they play a one health guy, turn two, ping it. Oh, my face is frozen for the whole game. Everything's...
Well, you know, what I love is the Mage versus Mage, where nobody plays anything like the first five turns, because nobody wants to have any situation that there's a pinged water elemental there.
Yeah.
God, that's so funny. Yeah, I had the same experience too. Gar, how about you? Did you play it all? You didn't play it at all? I tried Malfurion a couple times, and then I played you know, Paladin a few times. And like you said, I think I won one and I lost like four or five, and just to mages. So I just said, screw it, I'll play mage. And I won like seven in a row with the mage. So
yeah, I tried Uther. But the guy just has an ooze in his deck, and I was like, "Well, there goes my OP weapon."
Yeah. But Uther's nice because you have another win condition with Uther, right? So that's the one good thing about it. But I thought Malfurion was going to be good, and then all of a sudden I'm like, "Nope, Malfurion sucks." Like for me, pretty bad here. So
Gul'dan's decent as well, I think. Like,
oh really? Okay, I didn't try him.
Just, I think it's just a better version of Malfurion, basically, because it's just both hero powers in one, right?
Yeah, that's true. I haven't played Valyria. I wanted to play Valyria and see if just copying cards was okay. But you know, the cards you get are just like random, right? Like, just it's a different deck every time you play. So No telling what you're going to get from that. But anyways, yeah, Tavern Brawl's fun, guys. Just definitely play it. And I'm sure we'll be posting some stats on HS Replay or the Twitter account. So follow that, HS Replay Net, if you haven't already. Because I know Tiago posts those. I think on... When does he post them? On Monday? Or Monday or Tuesday? Next thing. Oh, this is kind of like a random thing. But so there was an announcement that there's going to be a Hearthstone pop-up book. Or there is a Hearthstone pop-up book, on November 6th, that's going to be available. So, you know, really playing on the lore of Hearthstone, you know, I guess that's not World of Warcraft, you know, like, I guess Reno Jackson and, you know, just everything else. But I don't know, what do you guys just think of overall just Hearthstone and lore and them building, you know, different types of products and media lines off of it?
Is this an official product by Blizzard, or is this like a fan-made?
No, it's made by, I forget what the company's called. There's a company that's basically publishing it, but Blizzard's in on this partnership. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so I don't think it's like, oh, they got approval. I think Blizzard's actually a partner in all of this. So, you know, this is the first time we're seeing this, right? We've seen some comic books, right? We're seeing this kind of Overwatch element to it that they were, you know, they kind of started with Overwatch. You know, so we've seen a couple comics from Boom's Day. And then we saw, obviously, the animation, you know, like the short animation. And then now we're going to see a pop-up book. So, yeah, overall, what do you guys think of this? Do you think there's even a future for this type of thing for Hearthstone? Like, will we be watching or reading comics of any of this stuff?
I'm trying to think like how because Hearthstone originated from Warcraft.
Yeah, World of Warcraft. It's totally
the Warcraft.
Yeah.
At some point, and now, how would you even make like a Hearthstone lore? I couldn't like not even remotely imagine that, like a story like this. They started doing these videos, right?
Yeah.
With the girl in the tavern.
Yeah.
But it's more like book related stuff. Oh, man, it's so hard to imagine. More like just, you know, merchandise.
Yeah, I probably, I mean, definitely, I don't know if there's like very much depth to any of these stories yet. You know, I haven't actually seen it yet. You know, maybe there is this like lore that we just don't know about for whatever reason.
Because every expansion is so different from the other one, like completely different team.
Yeah.
How would the story even like look in Hearthstone?
I don't know.
Look so, at the hero.
Anyways, it's kind of curious, right? Like, I'm not sure where they're going with that, but you know, generally, I think Blizzard, Activision making, you know, pop-up books and, you know, hopefully graphic novels and maybe eventually more movies. I think that's great. Like, I hope they continue doing it. I just don't know if Hearthstone is the right IP to be doing it with or not. But. Anyways, it's hopefully something telling for the future in terms of them doing more of it. Let's see, next bit of thing here. I guess we'll say the meta polls for a second here. Let's talk EU versus China, because that's coming up, right? That's like starting like this week, I believe.
It's already just started today.
Today. Yeah. And you know, one of the things with EU versus China. Well, first off, EU versus China. You know, there's NA versus China. You know, basically, it's always just something versus China, because it's always organized and produced by you know, Chinese company over there. They always end up being very compelling, because it's always, you know, crazy well-known lineup, and they, you know, go against each other, and it's definitely a lot of fun, a lot of money. There's like a ton of prize money. It's usually one of the top ones, I think, for the year, especially for third parties. It's maybe the top one. But yeah, so you guys looking forward to this event? The lineup.
Yeah, the production's always insane for these events. It's crazy. Like, I was watching it today, and the camera start appears, and you see this Aston Martin, and the camera goes up, and there's two players on this huge stage. Yeah, and then they have these huge images of the players with their decks, and they're like, when you go into game, they have a quest, counter, they show the secrets, they show the fatigue counter on the decks. It's like everything you could ever want from a Hearthstone production in these Chinese events. It's amazing.
And I really want the person who wins... ends up winning to pick the car. Because
do they win a car?
You win an Aston Martin if you get first place. What? If you want to.
Oh, damn.
Like, they had a Ferrari every year.
Is it normally a Ferrari? God, man. Have I not realized this? I always thought it was just like 100,000 or something like that. Like 50.
No one ever takes the car. That's the thing.
Of course not, because you have to pay the freaking taxes on it. Who has the cash to pay the taxes on a freaking Ferrari? So, yeah, that totally makes sense. But that's cool, man. And you see, that kind of glitz and hype, that's the kind of stuff we need, you know what I mean? To really, you know, bolster up, like, or get some hype behind an event. Unfortunately, it's a Chinese event, so it's like in the middle of the night, you know, and it's a little bit hard for some of us over in NA to watch. But so you think it's going to win between EU and China?
I like Orange and Hunter Ace, their strategy overall. Orange took the win today. He was 2-0 down, managed to reverse sweep the Secret Hunter.
Nice.
So it's a good start for him. He's my favorite.
Pick China.
No, I
can't. Especially lately Orange and Hunter Race, their tournament performance in this year.
Yeah.
It's just, I would say they're the favorite to win, no matter what.
No matter what, yeah.
It's a safe bet to go with them.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. Definitely would not disagree. One cool thing too, by the way, guys, is that you'll notice that you were able to watch it on Tice's channel this morning, and that was like brand new. Like, literally, Tice threw this together, I think, within 36 hours, I believe.
Yeah.
And grabbed Gia and Nairia just to cast and be able to put it on a stream. So really awesome of Tice to do that, just because this is an event, like you said, super hype, super awesome to be able to watch it. And not having an English broadcast is definitely going to hurt people's or not make people really want to watch it. So it's going to be awesome to be able to watch on the channel all the time. But check it out, guys. Watch the VOD if you haven't. I'm going to definitely watch the VOD to see this intro, because I'm really excited to see this crazy, crazy start of the tournament. But what's the format again? It's like best of five, but is there any special aspect to it? I forget, like in terms of banning and decks and stuff?
It's just the normal stuff, best of five of the ban, conquest, mm-hmm. standard stuff, and then just groups into, I'd imagine, single or limb top eight.
Okay. Cool. Good deal then. All right. So let's see. Next thing. I'm telling you, we're just going to be moving through stuff this today. There is a little bit of a slow week, in terms of just not much going on, like no HCT events and not much. So let's talk about the meta, like kind of like what we always do, meta pulse here. We can take a look at the rankings. Actually, let's go to the power rankings and the class popularity. So popularity wise, not too much of a change. I mean, Priest just continues to go up a little bit, tiny bit at a time, and then Paladin, pretty much the seller class at this point. Nobody wants to play Paladin anymore. And then Warrior, a little bit of ups and downs, but I think we're pretty much settling, in terms of like how people are playing stuff. A little bit of a change at the top. Sometimes it's like Warlock, sometimes it's Druid, sometimes it's Hunter. But, I think those top four are pretty much solid at this point. So first off, I guess popularity. Any surprises with this? I mean, you guys think that one of these classes, should be higher, or surprised it's so low?
It's like, I think the biggest change to last week was Rogue. Mm-hmm. I think Rogue was in bottom three in power rankings. And yeah, this week it's back to where it belongs.
Yeah, Rogue was like 7, I think. Yeah, it was like number 7. But it was like 49-something at number 7, Like, look at those middle 5, right? They're all super close to each other. I mean, even like up to 2. 2 to 7 are just 1.5% like off of each other. So it's very normalized. I mean, it's just placement more than anything else. But Hunter took the number 1 spot this week, which isn't surprising. Like, I've definitely been seeing a lot more of your Secret Hunter.
Mostly Secret Hunter, right? Yeah.
And then Druid, of course, still. I saw a ton of Azalina Druids. I was, like, telling you, Gara, like, over Skype or whatever, that, man, I played at one point, like, 8 out of 10 games were, like, against Azalina Druid. I'm just like, oh, kill me. Just kill me now. Like,
it used to be a lot of Mani Druid, but now it seems to be a Mill and Taunt Druid. And then Token was really popular when the new Strong Shovel came out, and then that started to drop off again because Even Lock was on the rise after Sho got rank 1 Legend with it.
Right.
So it seems to be like people just swapping around between all these Druid and War.
And now we're back to Togwaggle.
Yeah.
Back to Togwaggle. So it's... Yeah, you're getting all these games. I don't, you know, if you're watching Twitter, you know, somebody would post, oh yeah, you know, I switched decks 10 times in this game, you know, with this guy or whatever. It's like, Jesus, crazy. But yeah, a lot of that. I feel like just people are, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, we've kind of been in this meta for a while now, and people are just trying to play the most interesting deck. And I think, you know, Azalina and Togwaggles and, you know, like even the Priest deck, I mean, I think those are the most interesting decks right now, you know, and it's Shaman deck too. Shaman deck's pretty fun too. But, you know, there's not much that's very different, you know, at this point. Unless, Boar, I mean, you're definitely one of the innovators. I mean, anything you found like recently that's, you know, maybe have a lead there in terms of coming up with something?
The most innovative I've gotten is I changed some of the secrets in Secret Hunter because people were getting a bit playing around the secrets a bit too much. Yeah. So we put in a couple of snipes that gets the quest rogues when they play their Sonya sometimes.
Yeah.
It's the Dream Petal Florist from the Mildred. That's the best moment because then they can't combo you. It's so it's fun when that happens.
Okay. But, yeah.
Nothing really new with the deck archetypes. That's just
it doesn't even have too many minions to play into snipe.
Yep.
Do you guys think that there is stuff out there, though? It's just because there's just so many good... I mean, there's already just so many solid archetypes out, or just decks right now, that people don't even bother, like, trying things. I mean, do you think it's been tried out, or you think there's still some things that are out there, but just it's not even worth discovering because things are so good right now?
And there's decks like Mech Paladin really aren't that bad. Not quite there. There's a couple of mechs away, maybe in the next expansion or something we could see. Just something with more attack, because all these mechs have such high health and low attack. They just need something that can hit face, really, with some sort of power. Like, it's close, but I don't think it's just not quite there for Paladin at the moment.
We have like these three strong archetypes, like dominant archetypes, which are like anti-aggro, anti-control, and aggro. And the most refined top tier deck of each archetype is too powerful. Like, we have Questrogue as anti-control and Togwaggle Druid, and to come up with like another anti-control deck that can compete with those is almost impossible. And for aggro, we have Token Druid, Secret Hunter, Odd Rogue, and Zoo. And to have like an aggro deck that beats any of those is like almost it's impossible. And the same with anti-aggro. To have a better anti-aggro deck than Baku Warrior right now, like, I tested so much, it's also impossible. You have to play like a Secret Hunter, like, which is like hybrid, and that's the problem, right? As soon as you build, like, let's say, Control Paladin, you just get demolished by Questrogue and like even Hunter and like all of the decks, and that's why it's so hard. I was so shocked by the Big Priest that emerged. Yeah. I'm still not sure if that is actually a good deck, though.
I think it is a good. You don't think it's a good deck?
Rank one twice. But apparently it's only him doing well with the deck. I don't know.
You don't like it more? I think it's actually pretty good. Like
it's not terrible at all. It has strong matchups where it can get the board. It's really, really good. But like, I found that it's just too weak against the aggressive strategies. The Hunter, the Rogue, the Zoo, the Secret Mage. I find I'm just dying too fast, and then the win rate isn't high enough in the other matchups. It's almost like a worse version of Questrogue, almost, in this sense. It's not quite good enough in the other matchup to compensate. I mean, the deck's decent. I imagine it might see some play with a ban maybe in tournaments. Like, it's fine for ladder, but like, as like, I think at like the highest ranks at the end of the season, maybe not there.
Yeah. I mean, there definitely your mulligans and, you know, what you start with are huge. It feels swingy, right? Like, if you can get the Spirit Lashes with a Thalanos, then, I mean, there's a huge difference in how your games are going to go against more of the aggressive decks. But, I don't know, it might be just the fun aspect of it that clouds me a little bit, because, you know, there's plenty of Lyra plays, you know, there's, you know, when you get Zeric down, you know, it's like definitely a lot of fun, and where to figure out when and where to play the spellstones. It's cool. But I don't know, like I definitely feel the dynamic aspect of the deck. And usually that's a sign that the deck is good, you know, in terms of, having enough breath that, you know, people with a lot of skill can maneuver much better than, you know, other folks. So, you know, Asmo got number one with it, but he still seems to be two times. Yeah. I mean, so I don't know if it's still a matter of how many games did you play with it, Boar?
I played like 10 or 20 games.
Oh, come on, dude. 10 or 20 games is nothing. I mean, you gotta, I mean, 10 or 20 games. I lost like 15 out of those 20 games when I first played.
Same.
It took me about like 40 games to get how to play this deck. Yeah. So, maybe it takes like a certain threshold to learn all the little, you know, lines, but that's definitely a lot of fun. So, here's a question to you guys. You know, you kind of laid out the three different types of decks right now, Gara, and I think you're completely accurate with it. So is the issue that we don't actually have mid-range decks now, or you know, like aggro now has been like, it's like slid over and a little control. Bit towards mid-range, right? It's not like the crazy face decks that we used to have. So, I mean, is a lack of a mid-range, you know, type of meta, where having some element of the meta be in the mid-range area, like a reason for the, you know, crazy polarization we have right now?
It has like multiple reasons. But like I said, there's also no control decks. They, like, I think the DKs kind of kill the control, and also archetype in general, just the infinite value. You play Rexha, you have infinite value. And I think that mid-range decks, it's just like we have like these hybrid decks that cover so many different matchups, like, let's say, Torquemada Druid, right? It is an anti-control deck, but it does so well versus mid-range decks as well, and it does well against aggro decks. And like the most anti-control deck in the game, which is Questrogue, does also well versus aggro decks. It's like that we have these ultra archetypes, like they just cover everything. Like these
anti-aggro decks. Move your mic a little closer.
Like the best anti-aggro deck that we have right now is Odd Warrior, but it only beats aggro, nothing else. And it sometimes even doesn't even beat aggro. Like if you face against Secret Hunter, they play Rexha, you can easily lose to that. So yeah. I think the best decks in the game are just too strong overall. Like they should have a weakness. Like for example, Questrogue should lose significantly more to aggro than it does. Like it shouldn't even be a debate if Questrogue is favored versus Token Druid. If we think about it, like objectively, that's
fundamentally awkward. Seems
that flawed. We even have to have the discussion who's favored, Token Druid or Questrogue. Like Questrogue should get demolished by Token Druid, but unfortunately it doesn't. Because I think in that particular matchup, the problem is like Token Druid used to play Living Mana, and then you could just blow it out with Vanish. Yeah. And now you can replay the Wisps and stuff. But yeah, we have two strong decks that should be nerfed. I think nerfs is definitely what we need in the game right now.
We're not going to have any. But we're not going to have any. So that's... All right, let's talk about that. So, I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week. You know, Saiyan didn't say too much about it because Saiyan's just a nice guy. So, but Boar, thoughts? No,
yeah, I'm not a nice guy.
No nerfs. Boar's not a nice nerfs. Guy. Oh confirmed. Man, no nerfs until the expansion in December.
It's disappointing.
Yeah,
we've seen it's not just about nerfs. It's just about freshening up the meta. We've seen the last two.
Wait, hold up. They confirmed it till next expansion, no nerfs?
Well, they didn't say that, but I mean, there's no nerfs. I mean, they basically said they're happy with the meta, and I mean, they're watching, giggling, right? We went through this last week, so...
Yeah, that's actually crazy that...
I mean...
If you think about it, that's absolutely insane. That's such a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we were only a third of the way through this expansion, you know, like, we're a little bit past a third now, so... Yep. You know, we're talking like a long time before we see some actual new, you know, new changes in the meta, you know, unless somebody comes up with something brand new that shakes up everything, which I highly doubt.
From a competitive standpoint, because of Questrogue, the meta game really isn't going to shift that much. This is why there's no mid-range decks, because you either are the deck that beats Questrogue as the aggro deck, or you're the control deck trying to beat the aggro decks because there's too many aggro decks for the Questrogue. It's just, what is there more of? Are there more Questrogues? You play aggro. More aggro, you play control. More control, you play Questrogue.
Yeah.
It's a fairly solved system here, and we're going to be stuck in this. We've had this Questrogue meta twice before when it previously got nerfed twice, and it's really just dull as a player because especially ladder becomes quite polarized at the high ranks, and it's just difficult to find anything. And this is why a nerf Jaquesta, not because it's OP, because it really isn't OP. The meta is fairly stable and it's fine. It's not that if you just face too much of it, you play aggro. It's just the fact that it means you can't play anything else. Like all the decks like Big Spell Mage and other control decks are just dead in the water, which is really kind of annoying that they could change it, but they don't. Yeah, and if Questrue is still going to be a thing after the expansion, right? The next one, are they ever going to change it again?
Yeah. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they'll sneak one in here before BlizzCon. I mean,
my deck's stronger than now.
I don't think so.
Most likely. Yeah. Any card, basically, that is decent for the deck will make it stronger.
I mean, I think there's also an issue with just, you know, we've kind of been feeling the same types of decks now for months, you know, like for about 4 or 5 months now. It's been a very balanced, you know, type of meta where we see all the classes distributed. So it's just even, just remove Questrogue from all this. Like, let's just say Questrogue didn't exist and we, you know, we still had all these other decks that are going, you know, that are going on here. You know, the next expansion probably won't change that much of this, right? Unless we actually add very, very, very powerful cards, like on the level of DKs, on the level of quests. So you mentioned Paladin. No, you know, the mech Paladin's almost there. Let's just say we add a few mechs. Like, what is that going to do, you know, for the most part? It's going to add, okay, that one deck, you know, and, you know, what else? You know, so I guess my question to you is just that I feel like this year has been more of a, you know, more, I would say from a power level, definitely less power, you know, and I think starting off the year with Witchwood, I felt like that was a good thing, you know, just to kind of dial back the power. But you know, after Boomsday, you know, I'm actually not sure that's the case anymore, you know, in terms of whether this is actually good for Hearthstone or not. So, thoughts on that? Like, I mean, what do we need for the next expansion? Like, do you like this kind of power level that they've been having with the first two expansions? And I mean, what do we really need from the next expansion to really, you know, get things going again?
I think they have to continue now with the power level because they committed to it.
Yeah.
If they would now do something like introduce DKs or something crazy quest, I don't know, like some new crazy effect, then they kind of wasted the last two expansions, because I think that was the whole point of the last two expansions, to tone down the power level of cards for the next rotation. And if they would do it now, introduce like Jades or whatever, it would mess up the game for another 2 years again. I think they have to do it at this point. So,
So you're expecting another pretty low power level expansion in December.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they go like the complete opposite this time. It doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you have like so low power level in the last two expansions and then go back to the whole broken stuff? I don't know. Like, but every time you expect something logical, they surprise us.
Good and bad, right? I mean, it's kind of, yeah. they've had so. Surprises from both elements. How about you, Bor? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, when we look at the current decks in the metagame and compared to that previous expansion as well, we have a lot of decks that have kind of based around their hero's Death Knight. So we have this Control Priest deck that hasn't changed in like expansions because it's just Anduin and the Mind Blast. And all I can really see future expansions doing is just adding to these decks. Like, there's not going to, unless they're printing some busted stuff, they're not going to create a new archetype for Priest, which isn't around controlling the board and having this Anduin as a win con, right? And then I see similar ways for like Druid. We saw Mildruid got buffed a bit just by adding the Florist. This is all I'm really thinking that's going to happen, is the existing archetypes, unless they're putting in new DKs or something that can compete on the power of a Death Knight, they're just going to be slight improvements to these current decks, and we're going to end up with a very similar metagame, unless, of course, there's nerfs coming in.
Right. So, you're basically saying cruise control until next year, right? Until the retiring of the DKs. And the
something
retiring.
That I predict one card is that it's going to be a DK, because what they did in the last expansion is introduce one DK. Like,
well, not
last
DK, expansion. But you mean hero. Well,
hero card.
Hero card, yeah.
Okay, a hero card, yes. It was Dr. Boom last expansion and Hagata the expansion before that. So I'm 95% confident they will introduce one hero card.
Okay, so which one is it going to be? What class,
guys? It's going to be for Warrior and not going to be for Shaman.
Thanks, see how Gaara. Dr. Boom made the whole of Odd Warrior viable now. So if they could do that, they could do that for any class and just give them a new viable archetype, right?
Yeah, it's a... Yeah.
What if...
That's how to do it.
Insane for Shaman and Dr. Boom insane for Warrior, so any DK...
So all of the, you know, for the most part, right, every single hero has been control-oriented. You know, like long game, value-oriented, right? What if we get a hero that's like completely aggro-oriented? You know, get it on turn one, you play it on turn one or play it on turn two. And then, and I mean, something different, right? Because if we get another, what if we have nine classes with crazy huge value, you know, long game type of you know, heroes? That's terrible. Like, that's very, very bad. So I think that we need something like that, right? Something completely different.
I really like the hero card Thrall, because that card had a powerful battle cry, and its hero power really, it's decent, but it's not ridiculous value you're generating every turn. That's more of an aggro-oriented one, and that seems to be more of the theme that like I would like to see them go along with, where that it's not just play this card and you have an extra card drawn for the rest of the entire game, and suddenly we're going to fatigue because of this one card, and if you don't draw it, then you can't go to fatigue, and it's a bit up in the air. I'd rather just see more powerful effects when they're immediately played and less long-term power on the cards.
Okay, that's fair.
That would be super cool. I wonder like how low you can go in mana cost. Like the Thrall was like the cheapest one. How would like one mana decay, two mana decay look like?
I mean, it would have to like wipe the board or at least, or put something on the board.
Yeah, two damage.
Right? It would have to put something on the board, right?
And get a two damage hero power.
The closest thing we had was like, can you remember Morgul, the 1-3 Murloc that changed your hero power? You discovered the new hero power?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It could be something like that, quite cheap, I think. All you would do is just discover a hero power and you could get something which was like deal damage or nothing like discover a card. Rather draw a card or damage or make a mini or something, right?
Yeah. The you're talking about Inquisitor, right? That's...
Oh, rather than Inquisitor as well, but I was talking about... Can you remember... what was it called? It was in League of the Explorers, 1-mana, 1-3 Murloc. Everyone had it in their Dragon Boys.
Sir Finley, right?
Sir Finley, that
Yeah. Okay, yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. I think that would be much better, you know, from a power level standpoint, and it would be on the from the standpoint of aggro, right, versus this crazy control. But I think you are right. They're going to come out with one hero per expansion from here on out, and, you know, kind of, I guess, slowly add that element to it. What class, I mean, I'm trying to think of what class really, really needs it. Probably Priest, right? Priest, I mean, they seem to be the most lacking in the type of decks that they can build right now.
Yeah, maybe they could print a card which reduced their hero power to zero.
That?
Wow. In theory, Priest is actually the most archetypes, like viable semi-viable.
How? Like
you have the top-seeded Turbo deck. What does that deck need to actually be decent? Most availability?
Aggro not to exist. I mean, that's like your classic, okay, combo deck weak to aggro. That's how life should be, right? That's the circle of Hearthstone life, right? It's supposed to be like that.
Or like Shadowwalk Shaman. I think Shadowwalk Shaman is a great example. If you someone mentioned, I think it was Casey, it is a deck with like it should be a guaranteed win condition. Like when you get to the point with 38 bad cards in it, like every card in Shadowrock Shaman sucks. Every Shaman's card sucks, but the win condition is ultra mega powerful, and that's how it, not like Torkwagel Druid, where every card is like best in slot in the game, and you have the best win condition at the end.
I mean that you're talking about like Baku decks and Gen decks too, man. It's a bunch of, you know, bringing back a bunch of questionable cards, but because the hero power is so damn good, you know, it ends up being okay.
Yeah, it should be a drawback.
I know. I agree. I definitely agree.
And yeah, and like the strongest deck like Quest Rogue and Togre, they don't feel like they have a big drawback.
Yeah. Okay, well let's talk about take a look at maybe the top five decks in the last 24 hours here. And dude, there's one that like, wow, like the left one. I didn't actually know that this was going to. No, it's actually from what I saw, it's actually real. So I think maybe it's just this moment. So I don't know. There's definitely over 400 games on it. So somebody's playing it. But
I missed one really good guy.
Yeah. So I don't know. This could be just a complete aberration, you know, like for now. But, you know, the Mecha Warlock seems to be crazy. The other four are seem to be like what we would expect, right? So.
Except Even Shaman, maybe. Like, I have not faced an Even Shaman in like 5 years.
Yeah, I think the Even Shaman's not at the, you know, definitely not at top legend so much, but more in the, I would say, rank 1 through 4. You know, we would definitely see Even Shaman show up in the top tier of maybe the bottom of the top tier one, you know, in those ranks. But Secret Hunter, obviously, is pretty much every rank. Odd Rogue, yeah, always there, right? And then Death Rattle Hunter, somewhere in the same area. So nothing too different in the actual, you know, like the decks themselves. Nothing too, you know, there's like that snipe that Boar just told. There's definitely one snipe in that Secret Hunter there. A Rat Trap, too. You just throw in some curveballs. Yeah, why not, right?
It would be so funny. It would show exactly the same secret the boys
running. I wasn't playing Rat recently, but I like Rat occasionally. You're facing lots of druids. Yeah, catch them by surprise.
Oftentimes you just can't play around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Quest Rogue as well. Oh, 6-6 on turn 2. I've had that before.
Turn 2. Wow, that's good stuff. Definitely good stuff. But yeah, try out these decks. You know, obviously go to hsreplay.net. Find your best deck for you, rank region. You can obviously sign up for premium and be able to pick just whatever time frame and rank and even server that you're on to figure out exactly what you should be playing. And I'm telling you right now, you will climb very quickly if you do it. You know, if you're playing exactly the deck that's going to give you, you know, really good matchups. Yeah. Boar will tell you when events doing it, so it's like a little different. Okay, so anyways, we'll move on from here and talk a little. We'll talk about Zlay's video here, but before we do, I want to give a shout out to our patrons, the folks that support the show, keep the show going, of course, and these are the folks that you know have been supporting for a long time now. So if you want to go help us out, throw a pledge at patreon.com/valuetown. You'll see a bunch of posts too. Like, we do deck of the weeks like each week, so suggest a deck for you guys to play, and we try to discuss whenever we can get a show together on Mondays too. But some of the longtime supporters, of course, is Mike T, our legendary producer, and then we've got Raydan, Bryce L, Farron F, Chris Chilmall, Blake T, Eric L, Jackpot 777, Feldy Locks, Gary D, Alex G, Antichrist's Gotrix 2, and Jacob P. So that's just to name a few. You know, and we'll get to you if you guys haven't heard your name in a while. We try to get just, you know, maybe about 10, 15 of them each week. But really appreciate you guys. And yeah, if you enjoy the show, just think about that. Okay, so let's talk about Zalay's video. And this is, it's kind of like a video. I mean, we've been calling and talking about some of the things, obviously, just about what, you know, what issue with the game is, what's needed. So Zalay made a video that I think all three of us checked out and made some really, really good points. You know, besides the things that we've talked about so far, what are some of the things that you think is worth discussing here in terms of some of the things Zalay brought up?
The most important thing, I think, is at the end of the video where he basically talks to the community to also do videos about what they do not like about the game, because he mentioned that this is what Blizzard said in the post, is that they are listening to the community, or they want to listen to the community, they're listening to feedback, and that was the reason why he made the video. He said it like, all right, here's my feedback. This is how I think about the game. He's one of the most respected best players. Mm-hmm. And he made a very good video with very good points. I disagreed with like one or two things. And like where he said Lich King RNG is good RNG, or it's like fine RNG. I disagree with that because it's game winning RNG. But overall, a very, very well made video, definitely worth to check it out, like 100%. And he has good points, and it's very interesting that he wants to be part of the solution, you know, not part of the problem.
Well, I mean, he's listening to exactly what Blizzard is saying, and he's trying to, you know, present the feedback in a very, you know, clear manner too, right? So
he's very objective. Like, he's not just talking from his perspective, just generally speaking. And this is, I think, how you should make these videos.
Yeah.
This is how I also like to do these videos. Just look from both sides. Like, if you talk about Odd Rogue versus Spark Warrior, look from both perspectives. Rook also like auto quest rook with tempo mage, and you know, all these kind of things. And I think the biggest point is what he said is it's boring. Like playing these super polarized matchups, it's not fun. I think the most important thing about a game in its core is that it's fun. The game should be fun. Like any game should be fun. Else you don't want to play the game, right? If the game is boring, you don't want to play the game. And these polarized matchups are boring. And I think this is the number one point. It's not fun to play. So please make it more fun.
Yeah, go ahead, Bur.
Yeah, he makes excellent points. Like as Gar was saying there about the fun aspect, like we know that Prince Kelaseth might not be in the top deck, but when you play as a deck and they play Prince, it's really just not fun to play against them that game. Against Zoo with Prince, suddenly your AoEs don't kill their minions, and it's because they happen to get the card on two. And it really, like, even though overall, if you play the game 100 times, you're probably going to be favored. The games where they get Prince just aren't fun. And it's more about that aspect that he touched on, which I want to echo, rather than because they're saying they're not nerfing cards because the meta's in a good state. But it's more about why certain things happen more than just looking at the raw numbers, which I think Blizzard might be focusing on too much.
Yeah. And I mean, he also made the point that, you know, when games are decided before the games even start, you know, I think he emphasized that too. Like, you know, we talked about it for the last couple weeks now where, you know, people would say, well, I suck at this deck, but I still was winning. You know what I mean? Like, I suck at Quest Rogue, but I was still winning, you know? And I think when you have a lot of, or you have decks like that, then clearly it's so polarized that it really is. It's really determined no matter what your skill level is, you're just going to win that matchup, you know, even if you're playing against the best pro in the world, you know, type of thing. And so, you know, I think he's right on with that. When you're using the word, the B word, the boring word, I mean, that is as impactful as the other B word, balance, right? So, I mean, boring is not what you want to hear, like, as a game developer designer. And, I mean, I feel like that should be as high priority, you know, as the game being in balance. You know, like, if it's boring, then that's terrible. Like, that's actually probably one of the things equally as powerful as it being imbalanced that make people not play the game anymore, right? So maybe even more powerful, to be honest. If you're not having fun playing it, then, you know, that's definitely a bad thing. So so the thing with the Lich King, I want to bring this up, the Lich King, because I kind of agreed with him. I don't actually mind the Lich King, like, because I never feel, I mean, of course there are some games every once in a while that, you know, I get the right thing and it just, you know, whether it's like a coil or I don't know, just something that just gives me like lethal, it works out. But for the most part, it doesn't. Like, you know, Army of Darkness comes and I'm just like, shit, man, I don't want to play this card. You know, like there's a lot of dead cards I get from Lich King. And so, you know, there is that kind of RNG, but it's not high, crazy high roll RNG. You know, it doesn't feel nearly as bad. And it's kind of like Ysera, you know, like I think Ysera was always like a really great card too, you know, and the fact that there's RNG to it, but not every card actually is playable and valid for you when you get it. So, you know, tell me why you don't like Lich King. Because
I think it's like, I want to talk about it first because like,
yeah,
I played so much Big Spell Mage and this was like one of the last remaining control decks.
Yeah, I played a bunch too.
Before he got killed this expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Like you play these long dragged out games and you have to like you utilize every resource like perfectly, and then to lose to a Lich King, like the thing with Lich King is it has good stats. I think it has the best stats in the game for 8 mana, if I'm not mistaken. The only comparable minion is Tyrion. It is like a 6/6 Divine Shield Taunt, which you can low-key like compare to Lich King stats. So it has excellent stats for 8 mana. It's a good card. And then you need to have an answer for it, right? And then it will provide the opponent a card where you have no counterplay for it and you have no information what he will get. And against Mage specifically, Anti-Magic Shell is so ridiculously powerful. And it's most of the time game-winning, even if you're like super far ahead. And it's just so frustrating to lose against it. It's just so, like, it feels like your opponent doesn't deserve to win. When you're, like, winning and you're, like, setting up the win over multiple turns, and then your opponent wins just because he got Anti-Magic Shell, like, as an example.
Oh.
it's not great, and it wasn't like skill or anything. Like, it's just he got lucky, right? And the problem is also that it's like, I think it would be way better if Lich King was a death rattle effect, something like that. I think it's too powerful that it's like a battle at the end of the turn, and you can't do anything about it. Like, the opponent will get one super powerful card if he's lucky, and you have no information about it. And all the Lich King cards are so powerful individual cards. You would play every single card in your deck if it was a Hearthstone card. I don't know.
So I haven't actually had nearly as many of that kind of experience with Anti-Magic Shell. Obviously, there have been games where it's just like, yeah, it's super great. But it hasn't been a consistent thing by any means. Like, I don't feel like I lose to that scenario very often, but that could be where I'm playing versus you. Boar, what do you think about Lich King?
I think from Gar's perspective, if you're playing the big Spell Mage, maybe it has the most impact there. Elsewhere, I think the card has a lot less impact, which one you get. It kind of bounces out over time. Maybe in a tournament where you have like, you only play a guy once, and a certain card can be very swingy. But you can sort of play around, like, you know, they're only going to get 5 damage max reach, so you can try and play around that. Then often they like there's only 1 death and decay for AoE. The Doom Pact is a lot worse because if they discard their deck, that's all right. So you can really like just go, it's only 12.5%, just play your percentages against it. I think it's okay, especially like Gara said, it's good stats for 8 mana, but an 8 mana 8/8 as your whole turn is really weak to like single target removal if there's like a Vastbind or a Sap or something. So I personally don't mind seeing it too much. There's like much worse RNG in the game than that. And I think that's sort of an acceptable form of it.
Yeah, I mean, we know they're going to put it in the game. I feel like that's probably better. I mean, it's kind of like talking about Discover, right? Like, go ahead, Kara.
Like Death Grip is another example. I know that it's probably because of the percentage it's not so high. But if you play like, Tauntred Mirror, and then one Lich King gives the opponent like a Death Grip, and then you pull the Hadronox and you just win the game. It's like, it's so no fun to lose to it. And it's like, I mean, it feels like you play this game and then there's like this random factor that is game deciding. I hate game deciding RNG. You know, this is why Yogg-Saron was so bad. This is why like Draconic Operative was such a bad card.
Yeah, but that Death Grip, you know, that Death Grip is the same as...
We have to draw the line at some point. Like, is it a percentage? Like, if the RNG, like the game-winning RNG is like, let's say 0.2% or 1%, then it's acceptable? Or like, where is it? Like Ragnaros RNG, but it's like a 50-50 coin flip. Is that acceptable? Like, what percentage are we talking? Because it is 100% game-winning RNG. You can get many cards in many situations from Lich King. Let's say get the Death and DK against the Zoo deck. It's game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree that each, you know, so the Death Grip is like, you know, having a Gnome Feratu in your deck, you know, or something like that, right? Against a, you know, a deck that relies on, you know, Hydronox or something like that. So yeah, each of those cards are specific to probably some type of deck and their win condition, or just at least their general strengths. But, you know, you have to get it right. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, you have a 1 out of 8 chance, you know, of getting it each time. So
And another thing is, I think that these cards that have, okay, let's say Lich King has game-winning RNG. I think the cards need to have a drawback, at least like in stats or something. Like Arthas. I think Arthas is a great example because it gives you like the Lich King cards, but the card itself has terrible stats. This is like a huge problem for a lot of cards in Hearthstone, that the base stat line is just powerful.
Or too high.
Just auto-include these cards in your deck with no drawback. I think that's the issue.
Well, I think, you know, counter-argument to that is just that, you know, I think they have done weaker bodies before and people just don't play it, you know, because the tempo and body size matter so much in Hearthstone. So, you know, we've seen it, right? We've seen expansion of, we've seen like a couple expansions like, and that happen, right? And I think the worst example, by far the worst example, because the actual text itself wasn't as powerful, is Grand Tournament. Grand Tournament, we had a bunch of cards that had like weaker bodies because of, you know, whatever kind of text they had on their Inspire or whatever it was. And then like nobody played any of, Joust too. Nobody played any of those cards. So I think that like from then on out, they started, you know, putting very like solid vanilla bodies on cards that even had very powerful effects too. And then that's kind of why you're seeing people starting to play those cards. So it's tough, right? It's definitely tough to kind of balance that. And because, you know, like the bodies that there's only a limit to like how big you can make these bodies. So there's not very many increments they can work with, you know, like 2-3 versus 2-4 or, you know, 3-3 versus 3-4. There's kind of a big difference between some of those, you know, and it's the difference between playing it or not playing it a lot of times. So, but anyways, I mean, that's kind of the Lich King. We've kind of gone off topic a little bit. Anything else in the latest thing that worth mentioning before moving on here? I mean, the biggest thing obviously is to make your own video. Like, definitely make your you know, feedback in a way that they'll read and respect it, right?
Another very interesting is, I think he talked the most about Mana Worm as an individual card, if you compare it to everything.
Mana Worm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That it was always a problem, and it will probably always be a problem because it is the strongest basic one drop in the game, or the strongest early game in the classic set, so it will always be there. And you will always have Frostbolt because it's another basic card, and like Arcane Missiles and the Sorcerer's Apprentice. Like, the whole aggro package is always there. And you see throughout the history of Hearthstone, it always comes back. Like, in GVG, Tempo Mage was a thing. Like, now Tempo Mage is a thing. It's always a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, when you look at the classic set, how many decks do we have like that? And they nerfed a lot of the counters to it. Like, they nerfed the Warrex, which was like a very old school classic counter. You play Mana Worm, I play Warrex. And they nerfed that, so it makes Mana Worm stronger. And they rotated out, like he explained in the video, a lot of the strong early game that countered or could counter Mana Worm, like Hound the Creepers and Trog. We don't have that. This is why also Kalesef is even stronger right now. Kalesef is a very solid 2-drop. Body-wise, like a 2-2 is solid right now, like, because we don't have good 2-drops. People play like Amani Berserker sometimes, still. Just, we don't have good 2-drops, and like, especially no 1-drops. So,
yeah, well, is, I guess the question is Tempo Mage, or is having Tempo Mage available such
he
a bad
said
thing?
You should buff Mage in different ways and nerf Mana Worm. Because,
because
it's such a snowbally card. Like, they have the Mana Worm going first. You lose to it because it deals like 12 damage to the face. And we have that like for such a long time. I think it's just like a lot of stuff is overlooked. Very similar to Innovate. Like, Innovate was always a problem. And like, look how long it took till it got nerfed. It was many years.
Well, I think it got nerfed because look at Druid right now. It's got so much power, you know, and they it's like safe to nerf it now, you know, versus maybe before when it, you know, was completely reliant upon that kind of ramp power to, you know, to be viable, right? Now I feel like it's just the right timing for it. With Mage, I mean, we took away Mana Worm. I mean, the Tempo Mage would just disappear completely. And then what do we have left? We don't have anything left. Like, we have Jaina, you know, Mage, which isn't that great right now. Is Tempo Mage such a problem? I mean, I agree that it's always there. And in fact, like, I literally always play it at the beginning, like day one of every expansion, because I think historically it's always been good on day one of an expansion. But it is like somebody said in the chat here, it's like the face hunter of the past, you know, like it's always just kind of there. We know it's there and we generally know how to beat it too. I mean, it's not like it's not beatable. It's very beatable. It's not that hard to counter. It's just a matter of, I guess, does it throw off the balance of meta that much? I mean, we'd have no face deck if it wasn't for that deck.
I think we had way better or way clearer weaknesses in the past. Like, a face hunter had very garbagey minions. You played Wolf Riders and Boar,
mm-hmm. yep.
Boars and Lepanoms and stuff.
Yeah.
And every class could deal with like a bunch of 1/1s. But the deck was still powerful. It was meant to target greedy decks. Back in the days, greedy meant putting Isseras and whatnot in your deck. And a face hunter just destroyed these decks. And like Saleh mentioned, a card like Mana Worm, almost no class can deal with it. That's a problem. Like, you shouldn't have like a face deck, right? Right now, Tempo Mage is the biggest face deck we have in the game, probably. Yeah. And it shouldn't have like super powerful board presence at the same time. It's very similar to like Kalisev decks. It's just not fun, and you can't really interact with it. It snowballs. It's bad. Like, if it would be just like a bunch of face damage, like fireballs and frostballs, it's a different story. It's just like a minion that sticks and just does too much, and it's too snowballing. It comes down to if he draws it or not on turn one or on turn two.
Boar, what's your technique? You haven't really said much on this topic.
I think the problem with Mana Worm would more be, because it's classic, it kind of limits the spells they can put in Mage. Like, they can't really put in more cheap, good spells. Otherwise, the power of this card, like, because it increases its attack each turn, because it's a bit too strong. And one thing I've noticed as well is they've kind of gone off the trend of printing cards with plus one attack. We saw Undertaker, we saw Tunnel Trog. They've stopped printing those cards completely. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the card at some point get changed. It is kind of like, we've had Tempo Mage for how many ever years now? Is it time to say goodbye to this archetype with all these core cards and see a change? Maybe. I don't think the deck's ever been a problem deck, though. Mana Worm does have disgustingly high Monogon win rates compared to the other cards in the class, which is always a bit annoying when you know it's like they need this one card or they can't win, which is frustrating. But the deck isn't too powerful. It's like, I think it's fine at the moment. But maybe for future design, they could change it. I don't really see, though, why they need to change it right now.
No question, it's one of the most powerful cards in Hearthstone, though. Like, you know, Mana Worm was up there, right, when Nixar did his brackets. And, I mean, rightfully so. It's been the best one drop for, I can't even remember, last. Maybe Undertaker, like, was, like, you know, better. But, you know, Mana Worm right now, at least for a long time, has been the best one drop. So, yeah, I mean, like you said before, Gar, it might be just a matter of time when it's the right timing for Mage. But I don't think the right timing is right now. That's for sure, because I don't think Mage would have anything. Like, the play rate of Mage would go down drastically. And then Quest Rogue, oh, my God. Imagine Quest Rogue without Tempo Mage. That would be god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyways, definitely, shout out to Delay for making that and, you know, calling on the community to express their feedback to Blizzard. But we've got a few questions from folks, email and Twitter. If you guys want to ask your questions in Twitch chat, we'll definitely be asking away because we got some time today. But Amaden, our regular, asks, is Team 5 wrong by not having a nerf round, even if everything is perfectly balanced? I think nerf rounds revitalize the game between expansions, and for them to skip the nerf round would reduce interest for players. Yeah, so I think we already answered that.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said.
I totally agree, too. Even just anything, you know, just change it a little bit, you know, and see what happens. Even if it's, to be honest, even if it's for the worst, I think that it, you know, change generally is still better, like overall, you know, than stagnant balance. So, it'd be nice if they did. Okay, we got Kasai from Twitter asks. Okay, here we go. Here's some talk about non Hearthstone stuff. What do you think about Stan Sifka, Savitz, and a lot of MTG pro player statements about Artifact being the best game they ever played? I thought Blizzard, I guess, would react to Valve's effort, but it doesn't look like it is the case. Tournament mode, I guess, being canceled.
Mm.
All right. So, I guess, you know, have you guys played Artifact? How about we just start off with that? Like, have you guys played Artifact?
I played some of it.
Okay, so I played some of it, too.
And I play it every day.
We're the lucky ones. He plays it every day. Okay. So,
as much as I can.
Yeah. As much as I can. Oh, jeez.
It's all I do.
Okay. So, all right. Is Artifact the best game you've ever played? So, for that first question, I guess Stan Sifka and Savitz making that kind of statement, I guess, according to him. Do you guys think it's like the best card game? Like, is it significantly better than, or is it better than Hearthstone in your opinion?
That's a big difference if you say card game. Like, I think the best game ever made was Vanilla WoW and Burning Crusade. this is like, okay. You can't do that. Yeah. They probably haven't played it. I think Sivka haven't played it.
Haven't played sure. WoW?
They haven't played it. No, they have not played WoW.
That's, okay.
Like you, whoever played the first 2 years of WoW, they know this is just the best game ever. WoW,
like a lot. Yeah, it was.
But the second best game I ever played is Artifact.
Wow. Seriously?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh my god! Wow. Okay.
Yeah, super good.
Man. How about you?
I looked at it. It is Mr. Yagut said he played 200 hours. He can't wait to stream Artifact. Echo said the same. Strifegro mentioned it today. It's like absolutely crazy. Way how they solved RNG in that card game. Mm-hmm. Like you said,
Sabine, well, there is no RNG. I mean, outside of the card, you drawing cards. Oh,
there's
cards.
A lot of RNG in Artifact.
No, there's quite a bit.
Well, okay. There is. Sorry. I'm thinking of like my definition of RNG is like completely warped now, like in terms of Hearthstone. So,
I really want to like summarize the RNG in Artifact and how they solve it.
Sure,
like very fundamental, generally speaking, is. They're like, they show you, you have bad RNG. And then they give you the option to do something about it. And in Hearthstone, when you have bad RNG, it's already too late. Or
explain that. I mean, that people are not going to understand what the hell you're talking
about. Like in Artifact, you have three boards. So you play basically three different games at the same time. Like you basically have to win either.
It's like playing Dota. It's like playing a MOBA. Yeah, it's like playing a MOBA. You have three lanes and you need to win each of the lanes. Yeah.
Yeah, but the way how your creeps spawn, you start with three creeps in the beginning of the game, and how those three creeps spawn is complete random. You can have one lane with three creeps, one creep in each on each game board, and it's the same for the opponent. So you could have like both players can have two creeps in one lane, or one player has three creeps and you have no creeps, and that is like very important. And you start with three heroes. And which hero is in which lane is also random, and who faces what is also random. So, all of this matters a lot. Like, if your hero attacks, if you have like a strong hero and it attacks a weak hero, that is like a huge advantage for you as a player. But you have like the shuffling of the board with the creeps and the heroes in the beginning, and both players see the board state. And then you can do something about it. Like you have cards.
You can wait it on one side. You could try different strategies, right? Like you can try to make up for the difference in one lane, or you can just like go heavy on another lane, right? And things
and
like
this
that.
Is super, super interesting because like both players can interact with it, and like you can prevent his hero killing me because you have like bad RNG in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then he can prevent you preventing it, and it has like many layers.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Boy, what's your take? Like, How do you think of it? I mean, have you played enough to like really, I guess, get a good sense of your opinion on it?
I think, regardless of how much you've played at this stage, it's still in beta. It's far too early to say anything. I think a lot of people are tired of Hearthstone's current meta. Not much has changed its recent expansion. It feels very samey, and tired of stuff with blizzards. Not moving forward. We see no tournament mode. Tournament mode is an artifact straight away. No replays. Replays are an artifact straight away. We see all these things that like we wanted from Blizzard that Valve have already put in the game. And I think it's making players more inclined to want to play the new game, which has the stuff they've been asking for ages, rather than stick with Hearthstone. We might see Blizzard react to Valve and add all these features that we wanted because they know there's pressure now for another card game. Maybe the competition will improve Hearthstone. We'll have to see how it reacts. But at the moment, Artifact's looking quite strong as a player. Whether or not it's good for a viewer or in terms of tournaments, we'll yet have to see that. There's a lot of way to go, I think.
I think that's the fascinating part, at least for me. You know, I've played it, but to be honest, I haven't played it enough to really give, I think, a true opinion on it. I mean, the only thing I can say about it is that there's a learning curve to the game, like no question. And you have to get past that learning curve to really appreciate the game. Cause like my first, you know, I don't know how many games, like it was pretty overwhelming for me, you know, cause like Hearthstone's like my first card game. So like complexity in card games is just like, I mean, it's the only card game I play, you know, in terms of, you know, this type of card game. So it took a while to kind of get used to, but I think once you start getting used to it, then you start getting like what Gar was saying, like, you know, you get a feel for what the actual strategies are, and then you start to appreciate it. But for me, like from a standpoint of how the community is going to react, I think that's the part that's very interesting for, you know, I think to look at, because I feel like everybody's going to make a decision, you know, like every streamer, every pro player, I don't know so much every player of Hearthstone necessarily, because I think Hearthstone's still going to be the better casual game than Artifact will be, but definitely the, you know, those other two buckets, they'll have to make a decision whether to stay with Hearthstone or even just switch over and try out Artifact for a while. You know, and there's going to be first movers that are going to, you know, take that risk. But it's very different than when Hearthstone first came out and we had all these people, you know, first movers. And I mean, I made a podcast right off the bat, right? And, you know, it's different because this there's an already a successful community that's going on. So you're leaving a successful community to go and you know, risk the waters of a new one. Even how much potential there is, right? So you'll see people move and you'll see people that won't. And obviously, the people that are left behind in Hearthstone will nab up all the viewers that, you know, that still want to watch Hearthstone, while everybody else is going to go to New Waters and Artifact. And, you know, I'm really fascinated to see what ends up happening, you know, like who becomes big Artifact streamers all of a sudden. And, you know, how did the game actually does, cause you made a good point, Bor. Like, I don't know how viewable it is right now. Like, having to switch to each of the lanes, and how do we see the entire game at once? You know, and get a sense for the whole thing. But clearly $1 million for that one tournament that's going to happen, you know, in early 2019, or even like the $50,000 tournament.
There's already other tournaments announced.
Yeah.
There's like one Chinese tournament.
Right. So there's going to be plenty. I mean, the third party support, you know, the third party tournament element to it is going to be 100 times better than Hearthstone. You know?
Also, another one, like I can tell already from experience, Valve really cares about the feedback from the people that are playing, like the closed beta right now. They're really in direct contact. They ask about feedback all the time. So that's like big difference to Blizzard.
Yeah. So the you know, like the competitive scene, sure. I think that's going to be, you know, right off the bat, they're focused on it. They're working on it. It potentially could be just better off the bat. Prize money will be better. But in the end, you know, Hearthstone viewers still come from Hearthstone players. You know, Hearthstone still has tens of millions of players, you know, mobile and everywhere. And I don't know if Artifact's going to match that number. You know, like, so where are their viewers going to come from if they don't match that level of numbers? And that game appears to be more pay to win than Hearthstone is. So some of those things don't line up, you know what I mean? Like they're doing one side of the equation great, but the other side, you know, we're going to have to see like how many people are willing to pay that much.
I think the big streamers will generate the hype, which will lead up to a big player base. I think this is a little bit underestimated. Like I noticed this myself. Like I watched like the podcast with like Life Coach and Hyped, and it was like so fun to see these non-people back in the scene and being like
talking crazy smart excited. People too.
But it's like, man, if you see your favorite players, you know, playing the game, it makes you want to play the game more. Like, you know, these players also from Hearthstone, like, you know, Life Coach, like if you're following Hearthstone, like, you know who it is, but you didn't like interact with him or like follow him for like years now. And then seeing him back in the, like in the scene, it's so much fun. Like for me, it was great. And also the same with Hype. Like he moved to Overwatch. Mm-hmm. He did his own thing. And then imagine like a lot of people being suddenly in the scene, which, you know, I think it makes it really exciting and fun to follow and makes you want to play the game more.
Yeah. So as Lorette 22 is asking, how much does it cost? I'm trying to remember exactly how the structure, do you guys remember the exact buy structure? I forget.
So the original game is $20, and you get three basic decks, and with I don't know how many heroes you get. I think you get enough heroes to build three decks, and you get like a five packs or something, and then you have to buy packs, and I don't know if it's I know like the price of the pack in game, but I'm not sure if that is announced yet. Probably it's not announced yet.
So yeah, I don't think it is. Yeah. But you have to buy the packs, and, you know, I don't think there's going to be any type of weightedness to it. You know, like, it's just, if you get repeats, you get repeats, right? Like, it's not going to be like Hearthstone now where you can't get repeat legends, right? Like, for the most part. So, But yeah, up front, you're going to have to pay $20. And, you know, $20 is nothing. You know, $20 is literally nothing for anybody that plays Hearthstone right now. But I think over time, like, you're going to have to keep buying cards because I think they're just going to keep coming out, right? Like, new cards are just going to continue to release and you'll have to keep buying packs for them. But yeah, so, you know, I think a lot of people talking highly of it. You know, the open beta is coming up pretty soon. And, you know, no question it's going to impact the Hearthstone community. I think it's just a matter of, like, how much it does, you know, like, you know, which, again, there's going to be some big streamers that stay with Hearthstone. And, I mean, a good number of them will stay. So, yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that both games do well.
The most excited about is to see how much these big streamers can have an impact on, like, the player base.
Yeah.
Like, I really want to see that, like, if, like, people like Crip and Savish Dog, like, really big streamers, they really enjoy the game, and how much that will translate into, like, an actual player base.
It's not going to be just Hearthstone player. I mean, it's going to be, like, Dr. D is going to be playing it, and Ninja is going to be playing it on day one, and, I mean, that kind of level, yeah. I mean, we're talking about, you know, millions of people at that level, right? If it's just purely the Hearthstone streamers, that's not enough. That's not enough to even move the needle. Like, if you're talking about, you know, mobile is huge. The mobile, like, playership is, you know, what puts, you know, Hearthstone on the map in terms of, like, the number of people playing the game. What put Fortnite to the stratosphere, you know what I mean, is, like, availability on mobile too. You know, like, having 300 million, you know, versus like 100 million or whatever it is. So, I mean, I think that artifact on mobile and how it just does, and there is no free to play win aspect or free to play aspect of it, guys. Like, there's no virtual currency in the game. So, you can't earn stuff like that. So, you have to actually buy stuff.
But Valve doesn't really approach their games like that, right?
No, they never do. Like, I mean, I think what Dota
and Counter-Strike, but they're, like, super highly successful games, at least also well-respected games from the esports.
Yeah, they for sure definitely are. Yeah.
That must be, like, making money.
No, it's not. Dude, Artifact will make money. That's not the question.
No. Like, yeah, it's not. The approach was never like that. Oh, we want to be bigger than... I really wonder if they think like that. Like, I want Artifact to be bigger than Hearthstone. I just don't get that impression from Valve.
I bet it wasn't that. I bet it's we want Artifact to be a more competitive game than Hearthstone. You know, I can envision that. You know, but,
I feel like Valve really cares the most about the competitive scene.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
In
yeah.
any of their games.
I mean, you can even tell, like, you know, even during closed beta, right? I mean, you know, they definitely were molding the game from a competitive scene. You know, with the things that the team was doing with even the beta testers. So they had a focus. It was a huge focus. It was clear it was a huge focus for them. So it would be a complete fail if whatever their competitive scene ends up being doesn't end up doing well, because I feel like that's where a lot of their chips are right now. You know, like, the tournaments have to be good, you know, have to be successful. And, you know, I think that we'll have to have a time where there's actually viewers that don't play the game necessarily but love to watch it. You know, can we get to that point? You know,
but this is, like, already, like, they have it kind of easy because, like, the players are playing the game. They love the game. They super love the game. But also, like, the first tournament, it's like a Chinese tournament from WePlay. It already announced the invites. It has, like, Hafu, Life Coach, Dog.
I didn't see it. Really? Okay. I didn't see that. Yes. Where's the link? Link me to it. I didn't see it.
And, like, you can just Google WePlay Artifact.
Yeah, it's
going
to be pretty.
That's what I mean. It's like, you know, all of these people already. It's like they don't have to build, like, a new, you know, fame. Like, if you go back to the beginning of Hearthstone, you kind of had to build these personalities first. Like, it started off with, what was it?
They didn't build anybody. What do you mean?
No. They didn't build anybody.
It just naturally, like, grew.
Yeah,
what
but it took time. Like, we will have
did it like Artifact. Trump had 10,000 people on the first day. Like, didn't he? Like,
yeah, okay, we had maybe Trump, Amaz, I mean, Crip, and Reynard as like known people. But
yeah, that's...
we will have that in Artifact from the start.
Yeah,
we will know. I not.
You'll have to steal. I mean, but the one challenge is, like, they're having to, like,
a link.
I mean, they're going to have to move them from where they are. You know, like, if they're in a comfortable spot now, you know, they're going to have to try to steal them, basically, right, from the Hearthstone
space. But when I look at this tournament, like, this is already, like, so hype. The game is not even out. And it's like, you know, Dark, Frozen, Super JJ, Hafu, Naiman, Life Coach, Stansivka.
Life Coach is in it too? Wow.
Dude, okay. Life Coach is one of the top five. I'm not even joking.
She's super good, right? Yeah, that's what I've seen. I haven't seen the leaderboards recently, or the results recently, but man, that's crazy.
But it's like, you know, all these people, like, they're all famous people also from other games. It's like, well, some I don't of these know. People this is what have I want to watch. Like, I want to watch that tournament. Like,
I mean, some of these people are definitely already the best in the game right now. So,
yeah.
Who's Honey?
I'm not sure. But if you look at, like, Gwen, and you see how few people switch to that, like, Life Coach and JJ basically carried the hold of that for on the view base, and they didn't lose too many viewers transitioning there. And Gwen is a much worse game, I think, viewing and for playing than maybe Artifact will be. And that was just like two people out of a total of like hundreds who are going to switch.
Yeah.
But what's interesting about Artifact is you see people from Magic, Gwen, Hearthstone, Dota as well coming across. Like, you often queue into very well-known Dota pros in the beta, and if those people are going to be streaming Artifact as well, you get so many players from so many different sources.
Yeah, true.
That's going to bring everyone together. Well, that's an aspect that we might forget. I definitely think it's going to be a large hit on at least Twitch to start with. We'll have to see how it does after a while, though.
Yeah, I agree. No, it's, you know, it's new time, new game. It's going to be pretty exciting to see, but, you know, don't want to, like, get away too far from Hearthstone still, you know what I mean? Like, it's the brand new thing. I mean, it's going to happen. And, you know, I think that overall for Hearthstone, it's a good thing, because it's just going to make Blizzard, you know, have some competition, you know, and have to just, you know, produce better product, you know, like, hopefully they will come out with a tournament mode, you know, soon after. Right. And, you know, see how it competes, and they'll have to, you know, maybe up HCT a bit more, right? Maybe some more support for HCT, some more money for HCT. So, you know, you definitely have to make it harder for people to decide, you know, whether to go to the new shiny thing or stay with the, you know, like, the thing that's been successful for them so far. So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, that's the Artifact talk. Any more questions, guys? You know, definitely, you know, go ahead and write those in Twitch chat. We got enough time for like maybe one or two. Let me see if we got any on Twitter here. Let's see.
I just checked now, and the Artifact already has more followers than Gwent has, and no one's even played the game.
It's Valve. It's just the effect of Valve too.
Yeah.
Okay, GoTrick says, don't you think 25 new ranks for beginners is too much? I mean, eventually a new player, for example, at rank 50 will face a 31 guy and will be like, what the fuck? Unless they have super long queue times or thousands of new players each day. I mean, I think that's probably a good point. But, you know, I think the rank 50 to 26 is probably like, you know, 50 stars at most. You know what I mean? It's, if you play a rank 31 guy, you know, from rank 50, I mean, it's probably not the end of the world. I tell you what, it's probably better than playing, you know, rank 25 versus a rank 25 right now, like on ladder. So, like, you know, if you're a brand new rank 25 guy playing against, you know, maybe it's your 20th game or something, and you play against a guy who has a bunch of cards and is just screwing around, you know, you're not going to have that happen here. You know, that's the whole point of doing it. So do I think it's too much? No. And I think it's at least worth starting somewhere. And I think it's not a bad place to start.
Yep. Just please change the icons, man.
Nobody wants to thumbs up that for sure. Yeah. I double that. Come on, bro.
They won't release it without doing the simulations. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay. Prime HS, yep. You haven't touched earlier in the late statement that he doesn't like powerful legendaries because playing around them is less effective. What do you think of that? Would you rather have a higher probability of facing broken cards than having one-offs? Okay.
Didn't you recently tweet from HS3Play's account about the win rate of rarities, and like legendary cards have like a 4% higher win rate than all the other cards?
Which I thought was interesting. I believe so. Yep. And yeah. I mean,
is that too much?
Oh, what are you saying?
Is that too much of a higher win rate?
Oh, yeah. Is that too much? I mean, that's the point of getting them, right? I mean, this is a business too, guys. I mean, it's like, you know, the harder cards to get. I mean, we have to get people to buy packs. And I mean, Blizzard has to get people to buy packs. And so the legendary cards, they should be powerful. But 4% sounds, that stat is tough. You know, like I know we posted that stat, but, you know, it's like a very general stat, right? Like, did the decks have 10 legends in it? You know, like, did they, you know, who knows, right? So... you know, it's more of a discussion point than anything else that we posted that. But I don't know, what thoughts on what he said there? Like, powerful legendaries, you guys like them? Are you against them? Maybe that's the better question.
I'm curious what Bo has to say about it. Yeah. I find it most interesting, his reasoning for it, is that oftentimes, like, he... does plays, like, he decides to do plays very similar to how I do it. Like there's a probability of the opponent having certain cards in certain turns, like a very clear probability. And oftentimes it's not worth to play around one-offs just because the chance is higher that they don't have it than when they have it. And he said, like, so many times he loses because they don't have it. And I wonder... generally speaking, because a lot of smart people are playing Hearthstone, especially on the high level Hearthstone, how many people lose because or like that, just because they do the mathematically correct play and then they just get blown out by the one-offs? That's why I'm so curious about what Bor thinks about it. Maybe it happens to him as well.
It's kind of interesting with the cards, because Zalay in his video was commenting on Sunkeeper Tarim as an example, and like, it's kind of like, it's almost like you don't want to have a card so powerful that you're just like, well, I just can't ever play around this, let's just pretend it doesn't exist, because then you're not really playing around the card if you never think it exists and never play around it. You're just always doing the same thing regardless. You'd rather have them on the power level where you can make a choice and be like, I might play around this, I might not, which is where we are with a lot of legendaries. They aren't too powerful. You're like, I can play around the potential of this legendary spell doing something OP to an extent, and I think that's fine. Just maybe some of the legendaries might be too strong, like this phase. I remember when there was the old Raza Priest, and whenever they had Anduin, you could never play around it, which is pointless because they would win anyway, and you don't want to have that scenario where you just never play around a card because it's too strong. I definitely would say that.
Yeah I mean, those are two different examples. Tarim and Anduin are quite different. Tarim, we're talking like two of the strongest, you know, two of the strongest legends. So it's like, you know, it might be just a matter of those legends just being a little too strong.
Just compare that to like DK's.
Player
on Xena. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah, I think they're just generally, I mean, we have our share of bad legends too, right? So it's not, I can't say we can generalize it to legend. You know, the point about one-offs, like, I'm not sure what I get of that. Like, I guess there's just playing around
because
it, I guess.
Someone has, like, two copies of a card. Like, he rather has people have two Sunkeeper Terms, from what I can tell. It's just that then you always play around it because it's likely that he has it. And if it's just a one-off, you just can't play around it.
I mean, you just change how much you play around it, right? And the question kind of shifts.
Right?
Like, if there's two copies of Tarim, you play around it twice as more.
Right. Like, I mean, the probability is twice as likely that he has it, right? So
yeah, every time you make it, you do a turn and a half to it, it's like cost benefit analysis, right? It's So you just change how you evaluate it.
Yeah. So Tarim is like one of the strongest like class legends in the game, and it's completely a snowball, you know. A snowball card, right? So that's it's hard to evaluate that one as much, but
I'm fine with like powerful legendaries, except they're like on the power level as legendary weapons and DKs, because then it comes to the point, yes, if you like, I can't play against it no matter what I do, because it's so powerful that I will just lose the game if he has it. Like,
It
shouldn't be that power level. Like, he plays Gun of the Mario.
I feel like they've gone a different direction with that, giving legends a ton of value instead. But you know, like instead of you losing the game once it's played, it's just like maybe you eventually lose the game because, you know, like Floop and, you know, the cards like
the
that.
The most interesting card, the most recent best card or most powerful card with the biggest drawback that they made, which I just realized today, is like the Rogue Legendary spell. It's a super insanely powerful card, but it has such a huge drawback. But like, I face like Blood. What's his name? Blood. He qualified for NA playoffs. He played Bloody like face. Top Bloody Face. He played top 20 Legend.
He
utilized this card really well, and it's such a powerful card. But it has such a high skill cap. Man, I really hope they go like towards that direction in the future, because they can make powerful. It's a clearly powerful card, but it's not like brain that you just play it and win the game. You really like, because it limits the game. Okay, this game will last two or three turns and then it's over.
Yeah,
you know, that I really like that design. It's like
it's Hearthstone's equivalent of pushing all in, man. That's exactly what that is. It's like you just shove all your chips in. It's like, let's go. If I can't win here, I'm dead. You know, like in the next four turns or five turns.
Yeah, I think super powerful cards need to have more drawbacks. I hate these, like, it's just insane card, no drawback, just play it, right? Like Kalasev. Kalasev, most of the time you play it in decks that where it has zero drawback.
Well, the drawback is your deck, though. Like,
yeah, but
I mean, that's,
like,
that's
right now,
drawback.
All two drops are so bad that in most decks you can just include a Kalasev, except you play an odd deck, obviously. Like, for example, in Zoo, Kalasev is no drawback. Not really a drawback. There's like six good two drops, and you can easily cut them. You just play like 10 one drops instead, and Zoo can life tap turn two like Warlock because it's the best hero power in the game. So it's not a drawback. It's not really a drawback. The only drawback is not drawing it.
yeah.
Or like in Shadow of Shaman.
It's a drawback in a weird way.
I mean, it's still slightly a drawback. You can't say it's not a drawback at all. If you could play two drop and curse, you would.
Yeah. Okay, like DKs, for instance.
It's a slight drawback, though. I mean,
like what kind of Malfurion? What kind of drawback does Malfurion have? It's just like a ridiculously powerful card off the charts, right?
And you're getting like +14/+14 for a. I guess you couldn't play this one or two, you know, like two drops, you know, type of thing. So, yeah, they're powerful, but again, you know, I think they kind of have to be powerful, you know, like it's kind of the nature of the rarity of the card, you know, like if a card is more rare, and that's one issue with Hearthstone too, is that, maybe Artifact will be a little bit different here. It's just that, you know, everybody has all the cards, you know, like for the most part, you know, people are building full decks, you know, even free to play, like you're building some full deck of a strong archetype. And, you know, for all the pro players and all the people that are, you know, high on ladder, I mean, we just have all the cards, you know, like we, you know, we have all the gold that's built up, or we just buy it. We just like pay the money and buy it. So the whole rarity aspect of it, like there's not really, you know, it's not rare in the game. We see these cards all the time, but at the same time, it's like, that's how they make money, right? Like they need us to buy a bunch of packs to get these cards, or else they're not going to make as much money. So to entice people to do that, they have to be powerful. Like you can't get away from that, but you can make it a certain way though. You know, like you can make it, I don't know. If you made it more like Tyrion, then people would complain that, oh, it's just so good that you're just going to play it every single time. You know, like in Tyrion's not like, you know, crazy.
Tyrion's garbage.
Yeah. That's great. That's blasphemy, dude. That's blasphemy. No, but you know what I mean? Like Tyrion used to be like one of the best legends, like in the day, right? So I don't know. That's a tough thing to solve, in my opinion. Still a million things to try in terms of design, but you know, I think generally saying that the legendaries can't be strong is, I think, a little you know, unreasonable, you know, from the standpoint of making money. Okay, well, I think that's the last question, so we'll wrap it up. Good show today, guys. Like, I thought this was going to be, that we were going to struggle, like, actually, you know, like filling stuff this week, just because it's been kind of a quiet week, but, you know, I think we more than enough had more to talk about than expected, so. Of course, that has a lot to do with Boar, our guest, being on the show, being such an awesome guest, so thanks for coming on again, man. Do you have any shout-outs you want to do right now?
Yeah, shout out to my team, Fate to Karma, pretty much. And follow me on Twitter, at Ball Control, on Twitch, Ball Control HS. Yep, streaming tomorrow.
Nice, nice. And that's all. That's Ball Control too, of course, right? Twitch that.
It's Ball Control HS on Twitch.
Okay, yeah, see.
Yeah, I just stuck with the HS there, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, you better think about that HS.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? Like, but yeah, definitely check him out, guys. Gara, how about you?
Shout out to my team, Temple Storm. Yeah. Shout out to Valve. I love you guys. Thanks for letting me play Artifact.
Oh, my God. After you complaining for so long, you know how many like streamer giveaways Garo was entering just to try to get a beta code? Oh, man. Oh, that's so funny.
Can't wait to be part of the community.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for both coming on the show. I'm streaming tomorrow as well. Yeah. And yeah, depending on how we stream, maybe I host Boar.
Or the other way around.
Yeah, I think he streams like always like till midnight or something.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why. So yeah, good show. I had a lot of fun. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks everybody for watching. Thanks to you guys for doing the show today. And just as usual, you can follow us on Twitter at ValueTownGG and all of our Twitters down here, of course. You can follow HSReplay.net at HSReplayNet. You know, ValueTown is the HSReplay.net show. So I just want to make sure you guys know that. And you can find the VODs on youtube.com/HSReplayNet. And you can find our audios on all the big audio channels. So iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and soundcloud.com/ChamManV. Just search for ValueTown or search for Hearthstone. You'll find it. Leave us a review if you enjoy the show too, because it helps folks find the show if they're looking for a great, you know, Hearthstone podcast on the way to work. But that's going to be it, guys, for this week. So for Boar Control, Gar, and myself, ChamManV, we'll see you next week.